Well, for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be offering different opportunities to learn how to hear or experience a Kairos and work that circle. So in your programs, when you walked in, you received another insert, lots of stuff in there this morning, just simply Kairos group menu. What we'd really challenge all of you to do is be a part of a Kairos group. So there's different days that they meet, different times. You simply sign up by filling out the front, some information on the front, and writing the menu code on the back. So if you wanted to sign up for tonight's, you just put S001 on the back of that Connect card, drop it in the offering when it goes by, and you're signed up. Or you can go online to our website and fill out the Kairos group at the menu at the very top of the website and fill out that form as well. But we'd love to have you guys join a Kairos group. It's just 7 weeks. I know you guys can sacrifice a little bit of your time, 7 straight weeks, just to learn a little bit more that God does speak to you way more than you probably realize, and then start to work and learn how to just change your behavior, become better Christ followers, which is why we're all here, I believe. So good morning. My name is Andy. I am one of the pastors here at Blue Ash Community Church. You're here at a special day today. Today's our 5-year birthday. So yes, Craig mentioned a little bit about we're out of the toddler stage. You don't, trip and fall as much. Well, we did have a trip and fall yesterday, kind of. Craig, are you still in here? If not, you're probably listening. So we had 180 cupcakes for today, and then in moving them after the magic show last night, we had a little accident, and 90 of them were sacrificed. So we still do trip and fall a little bit, but we do supplement with some cookies, so there's still plenty of cupcakes and cookies for everybody. So I thought what we do this every year, is we have to sing happy birthday, right? So we're all going to sing, and if it doesn't go well, we'll stop and we'll start over. So let's make it good the first time. And when it gets to who we're singing happy birthday to, it's Blue Ash Community Church. So ready? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
That part's always awkward. Well, a lot's happened in 5 years. I thought I'd spend the first part of this morning just celebrating a little bit of the last year. Here's some statistics. If that doesn't excite you, oh well, it does me. Most church plants fail within the first 5 years, so we have hit a bit of a milestone. In 5 years, we've met at 3 different locations. Our longest tenured with the senior center, which was right across the street, we were on Alliance Road, and then they got bought out. And then so we went to Envision Cinema, and we were there probably 6 to 9 months before we moved in here, and we've been here about 15 months or so. So this is the place we've called home. We'll be here for at least a couple more years. But we've trained, and just in this space, in 15 months, we've trained church leaders, we've had prayer trainings, we've offered free events, one just like yesterday where every seat, just about every one of these seats were packed out. Think about that. Look around. That's a lot of seats, 190 seats, and just in this room. It was lots of fun. You guys are going to enjoy Phil Dalton a little later. He's great, and everybody kept asking me, I guess because I'm one of the pastors, Andy, how do you do that? I was like, I have no idea. I'm just as amazed as you guys. So we've done prayer trainings. We've trained volunteers. We've baptized over a dozen people. We've dedicated families. And that's just in the short 15 months, and that's just a few of the highlights. A couple other things we've done is we've moved from 2 kids environments to 3 kids environments. We've invested in our kids ministry. We brought in Hannah Roth. We've hired her part-time, so she's a children's director, and she's done a great job there. In 2017, we saw 577 more people walk through our doors than we did the year before. So that means either 577 new people or you guys are just coming a little more regularly. Either way, that's a win because people are just learning more about Jesus that way. The average church in America declines by 7% every year. We grew 16.5% last year, so that's a big win. One of my personal favorites when it looks at statistics, you guys hear me hammer this Connect card every week because I believe it's a discipleship tool that when you fill this out, when you first get here, you're saying, God, you have a next step for me. I'm preparing myself for you to speak to me, and then we're going to capture that, and then we're going to pray over it. We had 400 more collected Connect cards last year than the year before, which means there are 400 more people just saying, I'm ready for a next step. I'm ready for God to speak to you. I'm ready to take my next step in my faith. Some of the things we do with the city, we continue to partner with them with lots of their events. We just had a meeting with them 2 or 3 weeks ago. Last year, we continued our efforts in the Earth Day celebration. We'll do that again. If you want to mark your calendars for April 18th, we'll need lots of volunteers. It's a fun day. We give away hundreds of hot dogs. Last year, we gave away over 600 hot dogs. The Halloween Walk in the Woods, which was the very first event we ever did as a church community with the city, we did that again and expanded our efforts through the efforts of our Blue Ash Kids ministry, and we were able to serve over 1,000 people, not just handing out candy and invites, but offering them arts and crafts, and we'll again do that this year. We leveraged this space for our second Financial Peace University, and we'll do that again if you want to mark your calendars. It's the Sunday after Labor Day. We'll start that, but in 10 weeks last year, 10 weeks of Financial Peace University, they paid off over $86,000 in debt, which is remarkable to think about. So if you want to pay off some debt, absolutely. Get your finances in order. Go ahead and write Financial Peace University on your Connect card. Drop it in the offering when it goes by. We'll put you on the list and follow up with you to make sure you get more information about that. That's just a few of the things. So we're just really excited about not just what God continues to do in and through this church, but especially for this coming year. We're going to raise, as we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, and you probably have one of these inserts as well, in an effort to raise $25,000 for Haiti, focusing on how we can better serve a community that we deeply care about, but partnering with Back-to-Back Ministries, who does all of our mission trips. We just believe in everything that they do, trust them deeply, and we're going to fund two specific staff roles. And that's only going to be because of your guys' generosity. And one of the ways we're going to kind of keep everybody updated is each letter lights up. That's $5,000 to keep everybody updated on where we're going. So thanks for your generosity and prayerful consideration on investing in that. We hope to equip people on here to hear how to hear God's voice. Again, we just talked about that with the Kairos groups. That's one of the ways that we want to do that. So again, I want to encourage you guys to sign up for a 7-week process that will walk you through that. And I don't think that'll be something you look back on and go, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I do believe it will be very fruitful. We're also planning on doing an evangelism training, which simply is a churchy word just to tell people and train people how to tell your story about, you know, how you were before Christ, what Christ has done in your life, and what you've done post-Christ. How to talk to people in your circles of influence about Jesus, because for some reason that's one of the things we can talk about movies and everything else, but when it comes to our faith, sometimes we're a little fearful, so we just want to equip you in the coming months on how to just better do that. We want to equip many people to just go to the missing, to love the marginalized, and live as God's kids, which kind of brings me to the new words on the wall if you've been here for a while. When we launched Blue Ash Community Church in February of 2013, our mission statement at that time was moving people towards real relationships with a real God for a real change. It was just a simple kind of sentence. It wasn't real memorable, so we kind of truncated that to just real people, real God, real change, which has been our mission. It will always be a core tentacle of who we are. But in 5 years, we've learned as we express that mission out in the community, as we live it out day in and day out, as we live it out Sunday to Sunday, we've realized there's just been something missing in that mission statement. A lot of that mission statement was more inward. We do want to be real people. That's never going to change. We want to be who we are on Sunday, just like we are on Monday. We do want to serve a real God who ultimately does the real change. But in that is all individual mindset. And so we're like, man, we're really a church. We're really a community that is out. Like, we try to serve the community as much as we can. So we're always going out to the missing. We're always trying to love people that are marginalized. That just simply means maybe the culture or community has forgotten. You will drive home today, think about this, and you will pass house after house, home after home, of just marginalized people, people that have been forgotten, but not by God. And we want to live as God's kids, as He's designed us to live. So we think that's best expressed in three words: go, love, live. Go to the missing, love the marginalized, and live as God's kids. Personally, I absolutely love this mission statement. I think it speaks to exactly who we are. And to give you a little background, I'm like, well, how did we come up with this? This isn't new. I didn't come up with this on my own. But 5.5 years ago, before we launched, a team of us would just visit different churches on Sunday mornings. We did what we call preview services, 6 preview services, the second Sunday of every month. We did church just exactly as we would try to experience it, learning how to do church and working out all the kinks and all those types of things. Those off Sundays, we'd go visit a church. One Sunday, we visited a church called North Star. And if you've been around, you hear the partnership and the things that we share We're doing the same series as they're doing, so there's lots of shared common interest. And it was so impactful personally in our family. It was the first time we as a family went up. We took communion together. They had prayer teams. We didn't get prayer together, but it was so impactful. We hadn't planned on doing communion every week, but it was so impactful. We left. We had lunch. I remember having a conversation with the team members and going, well, we got to make this part of our Sunday. That was so impactful to me. I want people to have that same chance to experience that same depth that we experience. So that's why we do communion every single week. That's why we do it the way we do, is because of our experience with them. I've always loved their mission statement, which is going to be no surprise to you guys, is Go, Love, Live. And we would have had Go, Love, Live 5.5 years ago if they weren't 15 minutes up the street. Now we've built years of trust, years of just relationship. We continue to hang out with their staff every single Wednesday to do some of their trainings and talk about their content and the weeks that, or the messages that they do. So we just asked for permission. Hey, can we just borrow your mission statement? And of course, they were gracious enough to say, absolutely. They trust us enough to do it justice. And so that is our new mission statement, Go, Love, Live. And if you go on our website, that's all been changed as well, and it gives you a little more context of those three words. But it is simply, we want to go to the missing, those that do not know how much they're loved yet by Jesus. We want to just love the marginalized. We want to be known as a community of people that no matter what's going on, no matter what society says about them, no matter how they feel about themselves, they can always walk into these doors and feel loved and welcomed. And we want to live as God's kids. Scripture's very clear that we need to become like children. And what would that look like if we lived with the joy of our children? Man, I wish I had half the happiness as my younger kids. I mean, certainly they have their moments, they have their temper tantrums, but for the most part, they're joyful little people. Like, I would love to have that much joy in my life, and that's exactly what we want to do. So our new mission statement is Go, Love, Live. And if you were ever to go to North Star, and when those guys come here, they say the similar things, that our DNAs are very, very similar. Our expressions and certain things are a little different, but as far as a Sunday morning is concerned, you would feel a lot like it does here. One last thing I want to say about all this. 5 years in, I can still say today what I said the very first day. We couldn't be the church we are without every single one of you. It's the volunteers. It's the people that come each and every week. It's your generosity that we can do the things like a magic show and offer it free to the community, which is a financial investment, not just to mention just the personal investment of all the volunteers that help make those things happen. The one comment we heard yesterday, the theme of the night was, I cannot believe how friendly everybody is. Trust me when I say that's not me. I cannot be everywhere. So that's all of you that came and participated, came and invited friends, came and just served. That's you guys. And you guys know my heart for environments. I want to have great environments and great experiences for our guests so that they can hear about the love of Jesus. So thank you so much for just helping us be the church that we are. So I just want to give you guys an applause for that. Before we jump into today's message, I want to pray because a lot's happened. Anytime we do like what we call a bigger Sunday where we're going to celebrate something or do something bigger with the community, the enemy seems to always kind of rear his ugly head. And we believe in the enemy. He's a real person that's trying to just, obstruct anything that God wants to do. So we've had, I think, 6 volunteers call off. We had a drummer who's got the flu. We had a backup drummer that canceled this morning. Luckily, the guy that's playing drums also plays bass for us. He's very talented. So we've had 4 kids volunteers call off. We had a person who operates our slides, had the flu. Lots of logistical things that have just kind of happened, sound problems, all that stuff. So let's just pray for the morning, because I believe God's got something special for each and every one of us. God, we just thank you. Thank you for the last 5 years. God, thanks for loving us the way you do. Thanks for just overcoming. And everything that's happened to our church in the last 24 to 48 hours isn't a surprise to you. And those that walked in this morning with lots of things going on in their lives, you're not surprised by that either. And so, God, what we would ask that you would just come right now by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, help us just to be in tune to what you have. God, I pray that every one of us this morning would have a Kairos moment of themselves, where they'd learn something new about you and themselves. And then, God, give them the courage to walk that out day in and day out. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our new series is on the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is written by several people, most notably King Solomon and King David. It's in the Old Testament, and it's full of wisdom. And we'll talk about what all that means. And the series title is called Appetite, because we all have an appetite for something. And I hope a lot of you have appetite for lots of cupcakes, cookies, and Jimmy John's later, because we're going to have a lot of food. But appetites are good. Appetite, by definition, is this: any of the instinctive desires necessary to keep an organic life, especially desire to eat. It's an inherent craving, insatiable appetite for work. And there are healthy appetites and unhealthy appetites. So with a little interaction, what do you think are some healthy appetites?
Babies.
Like, having them or babies have healthy appetites? What else? Exercise. I do want to note that the babies comment came from man. So, exercise, that's a healthy appetite. What else? Come on. What was it? Fruit. Family. Healthy. What about unhealthy appetites?
Donuts.
But they're so good. What, chocolate? Dark chocolate's actually good for you. Cupcakes. Come on, you're starting to get too close to home. Okay, how do you know what's healthy and unhealthy? Can you have a healthy thing or a healthy appetite for something and it become unhealthy? How do you know if it's unhealthy?
You do it too much.
Balance. How do you know when it's too much, though? Is there a formula? Somebody tells you? Interferes with your life. So there's lots of different ideas. What if instead of a formula, what if we didn't have to wonder if something was unhealthy? What if wisdom, when we think about all this, wasn't something you gained, but someone you followed? We define biblical wisdom this way. Wisdom is a process of receiving the right words and listening to the right voice. It isn't something you gain, but someone you follow, and of course that is Jesus. Biblical wisdom in its simplest form is this: the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil. That's what true biblical wisdom is. And there's only one person who can truly decide what is good and what is evil. Is it anybody in here? No, it's God. God's the only person that can decide what is good and evil. And we tried. We really did. If you go back to the very first book in the Bible and you read through Genesis, you read that Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that didn't really work out to our advantage, I don't think. It didn't work. The chaos and confusion that ensued, that is now in our culture, is centered around humankind doing what's right in our own eyes than what is right in God's eyes and what He continues to reveal in His Word, which is, of course, Scripture. Even those of us that call ourselves Christ followers who submit to God's Word often fail to follow God's Word. We would say, all of us would agree, if we're all circled around later tonight talking in our Kairos groups, oh yeah, wisdom is centered in God's Word, and I know that He knows exactly what's ultimately best for my life. Well, except in some situations, which for some reason we find and we make excuses or exceptions for. I know that Scripture says that the borrower is slave to the lender, but God doesn't want me miserable, and I really need this vacation, or I need this new car, or whatever those things are. I know that God says that I should be generous, but God realizes I just don't have a lot right now. He gets it. He understands. I know that God's Word and His wisdom says not to look at these pictures, or not to go to that website, or not to have that conversation, but my spouse isn't giving me the affections that I need, and God knows what I need. See, we all find ways to evade God's Word for what is better in our own eyes. And Scripture, if you look at it and go, He calls that foolishness. Listen to how Proverbs says it in the first 7 verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words and insight, for receiving instruction and prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, we all view our world in a different way, in certain ways, through our own lenses. However, the fall of humankind and sin has assured that we do not see things through the right set of lenses. For example, people who are colorblind, they see blues and greens and a whole host of different colors differently than those that aren't. And so if left on their own, when they pick out their clothes for the next day, they can make some fashion faux pas, and it's probably easy to spot those people. Like, yeah, your shoes are different colors, or your socks don't match, or those colors don't go together. But through their lenses, through their eyes, it seems perfectly normal. Well, in a very real sense, we walk around sin blind, I guess you could say, that we walk around with our own set of lenses, and what we think is right is actually wrong. It feels right, it looks right, we think it's right, but Scripture calls it foolish. We don't view the world in the way that we really should. We have the wrong lenses on. However, if we would observe things through God's lenses, through the fear that God has given us of Him, not because He's going to zap us down, but because He is the one who decides what is good and what is evil, then we can start perceiving things how they really are. And then once we start doing that, we live according to His plan and that pattern, and we start to walk in the wisdom. So for the next 6 weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to just unpack wisdom and how to gain more of it, not by something we just learn, but by someone we follow. So our hope is at the end of this series that we have an appetite. We have a righteous appetite for God, that we want to just learn more about who He is, more about what He has done, more about what He's doing in our lives and what He can do through our lives. Our hope is that our appetite for Jesus grows. And when your appetite for one thing grows, your appetite for another thing decreases. You guys ever heard of a thing called a Keystone Habit? Anybody know what a Keystone Habit is? I've talked about this a few times. There's a great book called The Power of Habit. It's a fascinating read. But there's keystone habits in our lives. One is exercise. For a lot of people, if you exercise routinely, it naturally affects other things that you do, one of which is your eating habits. So if you work out for 30 minutes and bust your tail, you see a cupcake, and your mind starts to go, I am not eating that cupcake because I just busted my tail, and that cupcake is not worth it. So it starts to affect these other things, and there's keystone habits in everything we do. That's why we do things routinely, day in and day out, and it doesn't take up a lot of mental space, because we have these habits that are built in. That's why habits are also hard to break sometimes, that we do things without thinking. Your morning routine, you have a keystone habit. When you do one thing, it naturally affects everything else. You get out of your routine, you leave the house and go, did I put deodorant on today? Anybody done that? Like, I've done that. You get out of your routine, you're like, I don't think I did. So you have to run to Walgreens and get more deodorant. But the keystone habit, we're trying to figure out, like, that might be different for all of us. But over these next 6 or 7 weeks, our hope is that you'd find what that keystone habit is, that appetite for God that will expand so the appetite for other things decrease. So if left on our own, we will continue to see the world through our own set of lenses and feed our own selfish appetites. But when we pursue God, God's word never returns void. His word not only feeds our appetite for God, but it grows our appetite for God. So that's what we're going to do. And when our appetites for God grows, everything else, our selfish appetites start to dissipate. Who's ready for the journey? I know I'm ready. I want more and more of God's wisdom. I have 4 kids that I'm trying to raise well. I personally need to continue to follow Jesus well. I want all the wisdom He could give me. So Solomon, when given kind of the genie test of everything he could ask for, long life, riches, anything he wanted, he prayed that he would get God's wisdom. And when he got God's wisdom, everything else was given to him. So grab your Connect cards. You would receive these when you walked in your program. If you did not grab a program, good news, there's Connect cards right in front of you in the seat backs in front of you. Grab one of those, fill out what you're comfortable with in the front. On the back, you're going to see it says, my next step today is, we're going to offer 3 next steps, but you may have your own. God may have already spoke to you, you may have already had that kairos moment and go, I already know what God's asking me to do. Go ahead and just write that in, drop it in the offering when it goes by in just a minute. we'd be honored just to follow up with you or pray anything that you would have. So just write that out. The first next step that we're going to offer you today is accept Christ for the first time. If you've not made that decision, we talk about this every week because it's really arrogant just to assume where anybody is spiritually. If you've not made that decision today, that is the first step to biblical wisdom, is saying yes to Jesus. Mark that box or write that in there. Drop it in the offering. Make sure that you get a Bible on your way out. If you don't have one, that's for anybody. But we want to follow up with you. This isn't something you should just do on your own. Second thing is just spend time identifying what your appetites are. Maybe you already know them, maybe you don't, but it could be a good exercise over the next 3 or 4 days just to spend a little bit of quiet time and pray through, okay, God, what are my selfish appetites? Just be aware of those things, and maybe you can come up with that keystone habit and or start to pray, God, I want to have an appetite for those things, and I want that same appetite for you. And just watch what God does in those moments. And here's a challenge for everybody. There are 31 Proverbs. You'll be able to read through Proverbs more than once throughout this series, but read a proverb a day for the rest of the series. Just start to just glean a little bit of what Solomon and David and the writers of Proverbs are speaking, and you'll start to see the same theme, not just of wisdom as something you gain, but somebody you follow. In just a few minutes, we're going to take prayer and communion, and I talked about how impactful that was for me. So maybe you've never had prayer or taken communion. This is something that's really a personal decision. Come up by yourself, come up with family members, come up as a small group. You don't have to come up at all if you're not ready. Don't use my story as your lens and the pressure to do something you're not ready to do. But the crackers represents Jesus' body. The juice represents Jesus' blood. You take the cracker, you dip it in the juice. And it's a reminder of all that God has done for us, that his body was broken and his blood was shed. But it's also a reminder that when we take communion, we're saying, I'm all in. I'm ready. I want my appetite for you to continue to grow. And then I'll be up here for prayer. There might be another prayer team over here. We'd just be honored to pray. If there's anything we can pray, maybe it's just you want a larger appetite for God. Maybe you have something going on in your life and you need prayer for it. You don't even have to express those things. You can just say, I need prayer. Maybe you just want a blessing. A few weeks ago when David Smith was here from North Star, I was just able to enjoy church as you do, worship with my family. They brought prayer teams, which was a great blessing to all of us. I went up for prayer, and it was impactful. Not because they were great prayers or anything like that, but it was just those moments where I can just kind of step out in life and go, okay, God, what do you have for me today? I want whatever you have for me. That's what prayer is. It's not always because there's something chaotic going on in your life. Sometimes God just wants to speak to you and remind you that he loves you. And you might not get that any other way than coming up for prayer. Let me pray for you. God, thank you. Thank you for the last 5 years. Thank you for Proverbs. And so, God, I pray that everybody listening, that God, that you would start to stir by the power of your Holy Spirit that lives in us. That when we say yes to you, that Holy Spirit is active and alive. And God, we want that appetite for you to just grow. And so, God, I would just pray for thoughts of you, maybe a hunger for scripture, maybe praying for the first time, maybe expressing it to somebody for the very first time that we love you. Maybe it is coming up for communion or getting prayer. God, you know exactly what it is. You know what their next step needs to be. But God, I would just pray that you would challenge us each individually, that you would remind us how much you love us. And God, that you would give us the strength to walk that out. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for loving us the way you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You're free to get prayer and communion if you'd like to stand and worship with us.